Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
LeBron and the new look Lakers had their first official practice yesterday. Luke Walton addressed the team first, not LeBron, which is a big deal since LeBron addressed the Cavs in their first practice back in 2014, not head coach David Blatt. Walton said, quote, "It was a physical practice, but we challenged them mentally too." While LeBron added, quote, "Luke and the coaching staff had a great first practice." Shannon, will the unity between these two last?
Yes, but there will be some growing pains. I mean, with any relationship, there's going to be arguments. There are going to be disagreements. But I think LeBron has the utmost respect for coaches that have actually played the game. He had a very profound respect for Paul Silas. Big Paul played. T. Lou played. Luke Walton played. And here's the thing, Skip. Luke Walton won championships. He battle tested. He's been in game sevens of NBA finals. Mm-hmm. He's been in game seven of the Western Conference finals. Mm-hmm. So LeBron's going to have a healthy level of respect for him. Mm. But there are going to be times, there's going to be a disagreement. That happens with any relationship. Anybody that tells you they've been in a relationship and there wasn't a disagreement, they're lying. Or that wasn't a very healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's just agreeing with everything the other's saying, that's not going to last very long.
Well, you two. I mean, that's.
We had an agreement, disagreement yesterday.
Yeah, we had a disagreement.
We're back.
You
We're
agree
fine.
With everything he says, but.
Not everything.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Come on.
So,
made progress.
The thing is, Skip, is that LeBron is very tough, and great players are very tough to coach because mm-hmm. they only really see things from their lens, from their eyes.
Yep.
You remember he mentioned having kids has taught me patience.
Yes. Yep.
So, in Magic, Larry Bird is like, why can't you guys get it? Dude, you guys are pantheon greats.
Mm-hmm.
There are few and far between of you guys. Mm-hmm. So the other guys, that's why normally guys that didn't play or that were marginal players make the best coaches
mm-hmm.
because they get an opportunity to see things from a whole different a prism mm-hmm. than the pantheon player, Magic and Larry Bird. So, Skip, I believe that this relationship will progress in a very positive direction.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be some bumps in the road.
Mm.
For me, I played for Gary Kubiak in Denver was my offensive coordinator. He played in the league. Matt Kavanaugh was my offensive coordinator. He played in the league. And the thing for me, Skip, is that sometimes I could always go to him and they say, well, Sharp, Kube called me 84. Mm. 84, just play football.
Mm.
I'm going to trust your decisions.
Mm.
He said, And sometimes they would ask me, say, well, why'd you do it like that? I say, because that X on the board that you drew when I was the O, he didn't stay there like you drew it. He moved. So I played football.
Hmm.
And so they trust me.
Hmm.
So at the end of the day, I'm sure they're going to be some headbutting. But Luke Walton's going to trust old Bron.
Hmm.
Bron's going to trust old Luke.
Hmm.
They're going to get it done.
Really?
And within the next 3 years. And within the next 3 years, guess what, Skip?
Huh.
We are the champions.
Within the next 3 years? That's
no
a long time.
Time for
Let's see, he's entering his 16th year, 17, 18?
Oh, we going to get that big domino? Let me ask you a question. Are we going to get that big joker next year? That old big joker is KD.
That's a big joker.
You that big joker. If we get that big joker
you got a shot.
In the next 2 years.
Yeah. By the way, given your theory that you just told me about how you respect guys who played, how does anybody respect Bill Belichick in New England? He didn't play.
No. I'm saying they have.
Well, he did. He didn't play. He was like a marginal player in D3 Wesleyan.
And what do they make? Mm. The best coaches because they get an opportunity to see things from a different lens.
Okay, but you still got to command the respect of your locker rooms.
So. I think he commanded more respect once he got that title.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he commanded more respect when he got that quarterback.
No. We ain't talking about Tom Brady. Dude, We talking about Bron and Luke.
Yeah, Luke. So, remember this. Luke Walton's only 38 years of age. Bron's only 5 years younger. So, they're kind of in the same age range.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Same
like,
draft class.
Right?
Too, yeah.
Same draft class.
Yeah.
Right? Interesting.
So, they know each other.
So, LeBron's going into his 16th year, but Luke played only 10 years in the league. So, LeBron's thinking, well, he's just a guy. You know, he kind of went along.
No, he didn't. He was a starter on those teams, Skip Bayless.
He was a starter, and he went 2-2 in the finals. LeBron's 3-6 in the finals. No big deal. But the point is.
This is not about Barnes' finals record, Skip.
So, what's Luke's cachet? His father was really good. Mm-hmm. I think LeBron, a student of basketball history, would know how good Bill Walton was.
Yeah, he was.
I know people watch Bill on TV and they think he's a little out there, you know.
And he is.
And he can be.
And he was.
And he was. And he was. But he was also a league MVP and a finals MVP. And then he bounced back and was the sixth man of the year for the Boston Celtics, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty great. And I personally, because I have nothing but high respect for Bill, who I know very well, mm-hmm. I think he gets discounted as a player because people see him on TV and think he's a little nutty, you know, like, okay, because he was really good. Does that increase LeBron's respect for Luke? Probably not. So I'm going to repeat what I said a month ago. This is going to be the most difficult NBA team to coach in the history of the NBA because it's issue upon issue upon potential problem. LeBron wants to coach the team. He always coached the team. All those guys you talked about, except for Paul Silas, but that was way early. Mm-hmm. But David Blatt, Spoelstra, Ty Lue, name it. LeBron's the coach of the team. And I don't have any issue with that, but you got to just acknowledge it. Just deal with it.
Well, the thing was, Skip, LeBron was coming back, and he was coming back for a championship, and he was so established, and you get this guy out of Europe? Well, wait a minute. What do you know? He knew so little, he wanted somebody else to take the last shot and not O'Bron.
Yeah, and LeBron really ticked him off.
And LeBron put his foot down.
He put his foot down. The first time I ever saw him get really angry and say, I want the basketball. Because he wanted the closer to shoot it, who's Kyrie, obviously. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie's like, yeah, I'll shoot
it. He lucky LeBron didn't pull a Sprewell on him like he did Carlissimo.
Maybe.
But that was it. If it was in practice.
You know what? LeBron.
LeBron would have pulled a spree on him. Yes, he would have.
LeBron's a lover.
LeBron got that in him.
He doesn't have
Yes, he does.
He does not.
LeBron to put the mitts on him.
No,
he But LeBron said, you know what? I'm going to take the last shot, and I'm going to pretend you didn't say what I know you said. So I'm going to let it slide this time. But you on high alert, bro.
No. He might say that, but he wouldn't actually do that.
He would have.
You know? No. So, Luke Walton's a tough guy because he's his own guy, and he was clashing last year with Lonzo and LeVar, taking on shots from LeVar and firing back. But remember, LeVar still hovers over this team. And all of a sudden, Lonzo's got competition. Lonzo's coming off a little minor knee surgery.
And he's going to be coming off the bench.
Well, he might be because Rondo looks like he's going to be the starting point guard. But how long is that going to last? Because LeVar is going to assert himself if Lonzo gets reduced minutes this year. And all of a sudden, Lance is—he's pretty hard to coach. I like him.
Bron got him.
You think Bron got him?
Got him.
So Bron's got to be the head coach.
Yeah, J.R. Smith
and you know
was
what?
Hard to coach.
JaVale can do some crazy things every once in a while.
Well, we know Skip. We know We know he's gonna have a wide open dunk, and the rim's gonna block him.
Okay.
We know he's gonna have a layup, and he's gonna dribble the ball off his foot. Mm-hmm. We expect those things, but he's gonna play hard.
Okay. Well, he probably will. But Michael Beasley is a quiet guy, but he can be difficult. He can just go south on you all of a sudden. You're like, what? What's going on? He can pout. He can just be
He's going to be on that second squad. He's going to be on that second unit.
He's going to have to be on that second unit. But look at all the potential problems on top of Luke versus LeBron. Because in the end, I don't care. Luke's going to think he's in control. But in the end, I don't care. LeBron is going to be in control. Pat Riley presided in Miami. But in the end, LeBron said, no, I do this and I do that. And why did he finally leave? Because Pat Riley wouldn't sign off on his entourage being around.
Yeah, we had a deal.
Yeah, you had to.
I bet Pat wish you had. Pat said, come on back.
Maybe.
We let your entourage.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it ain't no fun not making the playoffs either, Skip. Just imagine you going to the finals every year. That's a small consolation.
So on recruiting night in Brentwood, who knocked on the door?
Magic.
Yep.
That's right.
Did Luke, was he there?
No.
Did he come along? Oh, Luke wasn't there.
We don't want him to know where we stay.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know where you stay.
So he's the head coach.
Mike Shanahan didn't know where I live.
Well, okay.
Brian Billick didn't know where I live. They didn't need to know.
Really?
Nope.
So who's going to spend more time around LeBron, Magic or Luke? I think Luke times 10, right?
Yeah, so?
Times 100. Maybe.
So?
Well, why wouldn't he come along to help?
No, come along for what?
Because the questions need to be asked of most coaches. How are we going to do this?
No.
Right?
Because
how are we going to do this, Luke?
Because Magic Johnson is the one putting the team together. Luke Walton is coaching the team. So I need to talk to Magic. Richie Paul's already talked to Rob Pelinka. So I need to talk Magic. Okay, Magic, what we do? How are we going to do this? Now, if we don't get one of these guys, if we don't get A, B, or C this year, what are we going to do next year moving forward? So what you thinking? Now, this is what I need. I need 5 parking passes. Might need a 6th one. Come out, boy, Shea Sharp out here. And I need him to be at the game. All that's in play, Skip.
You know what? I just amended my statement. Actually, this is going to be the most difficult team to coach in NBA history for LeBron James, not for Luke Walton, because in the end, Luke's just the assistant coach
on
this
team. Yes, stop, just stop diminishing that man. You know what? You keep doing that. Stop.
I'm not diminishing.
Yes, you are.
I'm just telling the truth.
You're talking about LeBron coaching Miami. No, Eric Spoelstra was the coach of Miami.
Please.
LeBron coached.
First year, he bumped him off the court.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, shot him.
Ran over him.
Shot him a quick bow. That's what you, hey, Jenny, that's what you, you shoot him a quick bow, let him know you're not playing.
Recently, it was reported that LeBron went up to Pat's office and said, could you step down and coach
the team? He asked him, you want to coach? I mean, he didn't say, are you going to step down? He's like, you want to coach? I mean, what you thinking? What you thinking, Pat? Riles? I mean, whatever they call him. Riles?
Riles?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't envy this
talking
guy.
About Luke Walton coming to that man. Man, no. Yeah. Brian Billick didn't come recruit me. You know who came and got me?
You're not LeBron.
Art Modell and Ozzie. Yeah. Those were the ones I needed to talk to because I needed to see their vision. So we were back on that plane. We were talking. Me and Art Modell was talking.
Did you get the parking passes, though, for this year?
I ain't telling Skip. Because Skip going to be talking about, Skip going to be all upset, talking about I got privileges that he doesn't get.
Okay, well, if you don't get to a really game, care. Use them.
Okay. No mercy.
Hey guys, Jenny Taft here. More of the Undisputed podcast is on the way, but first, I wanted to talk to you about one of our sponsors. If you're like me, you know that navigating the stock market can be daunting. Fortunately, there's Robinhood. Robinhood is an app that makes buying and selling stocks, options, cryptos, and more simple and intuitive. With data presented in an easy-to-digest way, Robinhood is a non-intimidating method for stock market newcomers to invest with confidence. And here's the best part. Not only is Robinhood easy to use, it's all commission-free. That's right, no commission fees. Other brokerages can charge you up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood allows you to trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Even better, Robinhood is giving Undisputed listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Just sign up at undisputed.robinhood.com. That's undisputed.robinhood.com to start investing today. Now, back to the show.
No mercy.
On to the NBA. The Warriors have won 3 of the last 4 titles, but they're not resting heading into this season. Steve Kerr compared this team with his 1998 Bulls team that won a title but also saw the finish line because they had a lot of free agents. Even though these Warriors also have a bunch of potential free agents, Kerr said, quote, we're not looking at this as the final dance. I hope we keep dancing. And then Draymond Green, who can be a free agent in 2020, said, quote, I'm confident I'll be here a very long time. Shannon, is this Golden State's last dance?
I'm going to say, Skip, this is more likely their last year as we know them than not. KD is the big domino.
I'd say.
And the thing is, Skip, with him, after he did what he did when he left OKC by joining a 73-9 team with a team that had that already had a 2-time league MVP, it would not surprised me to see him go join the Lakers and team up with LeBron James.
Well, you would love to see that.
I would love to see that. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't surprise me because he's, as he said before, I'm doing whatever KD wants to do. I'm not living for anybody else. I'm not trying to please anybody else. These are my decisions. He said that was the first time he made a decision based solely on Kevin Durant. Okay, I'm good with that. Klay also will be a free agent. Draymond in 2 years. But Skip, it's just hard for me to believe that they can keep this team together because the luxury tax bill this year is $43 million. It goes to $90 million, $199, $223. That's half a billion.
Okay.
That's if you exclude Boogie. I understand they're getting a new arena. That's not the salary.
Not this year, next year.
Yeah. Skip, that's not their salaries. That's the luxury tax is a half a billion.
I agree.
Now you throw the salaries in on top of that. I think it's more probable than not because at the end of the day, Clay's going to have to look at this and he's going to have to ask himself an honest question. I don't believe there's anything as far as ring-wise that's going to change Clay's legacy. So do I need 4 rings? Because I believe they're going to win it again. So 4 rings and stay here at, say, $60 million less than I can get at another team or have my own team. Draymond's going to have to make that very, very same decision. Now, Steph and KD, that's an entirely different argument because I think more so for Steph, because KD, people still going to try to diminish what he did. I look at KD, I was like, look, the man was a free agent. He made a decision that was in his best interest. Mm. Got no problem with what he did. So those are the questions that they're going to have to ask. I feel probably 85% that this team as we know it right now will not be the team that comes back next year and try to defend the title.
Okay. I wish I could disagree, but there are a couple of X factors I don't know. I don't know how DeMarcus Cousins is going to fit. I don't even know if he'll be 100% healthy. He's not cleared to even practice
yet. Just take him out of the equation. He doesn't play.
Huge part of the equation. To your point yesterday, he's the best center in basketball, and they acquired him? How?
Yeah.
Why? Well, they did. So what if he fits? What if he makes them even more invincible than you think they are right now?
Right.
What if they look at, not this year, but the next year as, we are prohibitive favorites again, and we could do something in the modern era that's never been done? What if they look at, we could win 4 straight championships? Now, the Celtics with Bill Russell won 8 straight, but the last one of those came in 1966, and it feels like ancient history, right?
Right.
So in the modern era, not that it's that far away, but my point is, for now, today, to win 4 straight is impossible.
Well,
right?
I believe they're going to win 4 straight even if Boogie doesn't play this year.
Well, I'm just saying, he's the X factor here. So if Kevin, if they win easily with the help of DeMarcus this year, then Kevin, who's got a bunch of Silicon Valley investments, he might say, you know what? We could dynasty this, man. We could do a big number. Well, we might win 5 or 6.
4 would be a dynasty.
Okay, it would be. No, it would be. So would Kevin feel some loyalty to Steph and Clay? Now back to the cap. Remember, there's a huge difference between the National Football League and the National Basketball Association, and that's hard cap versus soft cap.
Right.
So it's doable in the NBA because there's no limit to the luxury tax. It's called, after a while, the repeater tax.
Right.
Where once you've gone over it, then you really get docked.
Yes.
Right?
You really get penalized. You go from $1 to $1.50 to $2.
But it's up to the owner, Joe Lacob, who I know a little bit, but he's really into this. And if you show him dynasty and you show him proceeds from a new arena across that Bay Bridge in San Francisco called Chase Center, then the whole world is going to be chasing Chase Center. Well, he can just – it's a bottomless pit. However he wants to – pay, he could pay Clay the supermax.
But here's the thing.
And get away with, he can fit him under the cap.
Even every business, even Apple, that's worth $1 trillion, that has excess of almost a half of $380 billion in cash, they got limits on what they'll spend. Mm. They got limits. And they print money over there.
What happened in Oklahoma City? They had principal limits, that ownership, and I know those guys too.
For basically
Clay Bennett,
$5 million.
Well, they just basically said, James Harden, we got to give him up because we're not going to pay all 3 of these guys with obviously KD and Russ.
Yeah.
And they let James Harden go.
For basically $5 million.
And you could, the rules allowed you to pay all 3 if you wanted to. And they said, on principle, we won't do this. And I was saying, what are you doing? These don't grow on trees, man. It's hard to get 3 like that, right?
And plus, Skip, they chose Serge Ibaka over James Harden.
Okay.
Because they paid him.
All right. Okay. So now back to Steve Kerr. He's obviously on the 1998 Chicago Bulls, a team I covered. So I was there the whole year. Mm-hmm. And what was going on as the undercurrent to that team from day 1 of training camp? They knew that Jerry Krause, the GM, wanted a new coach, that he was sick and tired of Phil Jackson's arrogance and just his misbehaving toward management and ownership, and that he had already set his sights on the coach at Iowa State, Tim Floyd. So the team nicknamed him Pink Floyd after the 60s rock and roll group. So it's Pink Floyd. So they're making jokes every practice about Pink Floyd's coming. Pink Floyd's coming. It's Tim Floyd. His team that year at Iowa State went 12-18. So that's, as you saw, his team start to unwind a little bit, you know, like fall apart.
And they thought you'd be the coach.
This guy's going to take over for Phil? Seriously? But it was happening, and they knew it was happening. And that team was on its last legs. They were good legs, but they were last legs because Michael was 34, Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. He didn't take care of himself like LeBron does.
No.
He just didn't.
Yeah.
He just didn't. And he was about to hit the wall because he had hit it by the time he got to Washington.
Right.
I didn't begrudge him that or condemn him
for it. And plus, Skip, he waited two more years, so he...
Okay. All right. Because, yeah, he was out for two years before he even tried that. Dennis Rodman was 36. He was definitely on his last legs because he didn't really take great care of himself.
No.
Scottie was 32. That was an old 32. Ron Harper was an old 34. And Steve Kerr was 32. Probably he's maybe in the best shape of anyone on the team.
Right.
But my point is, they just knew from the day one of training camp, last dance. They had T-shirts, last dance.
And plus, okay? The thing is, Skip, is that they knew that there's nothing that could be done to keep this team together.
No. Mm-mm.
The players, they control this.
They do.
Management will keep it together for a little while.
Right.
As long as the player. Now, Kevin Durant's going to probably have to take another haircut. I mean, if you won't Boogie.
He probably would.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, he's making a lot of money off the court.
Yeah, and Clay's going to probably have to give him, get a little fade.
I don't know about Clay.
He growing a beard.
They might take care of Clay.
You have to get that. You're going to have to trim that hair face. Draymond might have to get rid of that little beard he got going on.
But he's got it not until the next year.
Right. Yeah. But Clay's up after this year.
He's up after
Lakers
this year.
The Lakers are going to be looking at him. So that's the difference is that Jerry Krause wanted to prove that he could win a championship without Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan.
It was like Belichickian. That's what he was trying to do.
Because Jerry Krause said organizations win championships.
He said that.
Michael Jordan, his Hall of Fame speech, said organizations doesn't have the flu at a fever of 102 degrees. So when the organization does that, talk to me about organization.
And so they called out Jerry Krause by name in his acceptance speech.
And it was bad. He didn't. He skipped.
It was pretty low blow.
And then he didn't even invite him. Skip
okay, but that's Michael Jordan. That's that guy. That's the assassin. Go ahead.
Yes. And so the team, KD is the domino. Mm-hmm. KD controls this all, Skip. He's the major player because even if Klay leaves, I believe with KD,
I agree with that. Yep.
They still would be the
favorite.
So he's the domino. He's the
And he's the only one who can level the playing field between Golden State and the Lakers. If he comes to LeBron, now LeBron would be going into his 17th year, but still,
but
KD.
We got something up our sleeve. You know we got something up our sleeve.
Well, if you got KD up your sleeve, good.
We going to get a D on the report card. We going to get a D on our report card. And I know you never made a D, but I got a bunch of them on mine. And sometimes, but that's a passing grade, Skip. It's not anymore. But when I come up there with a passing grade. Mm-hmm. So we going to get a D.
I got a bunch of A's, and you want to put the A plus the D.
We're going to get an AD or a KD.
Okay.
One of them D's going to be in L.A.
If it's AD, it doesn't change life.
With LeBron.
AD changes life.
Skip, you actually think that's going to be all we're going to get?
Mm.
You think that's going to... hold on. What if we pull a coup? Mm. What if we get AD and KD?
I would like to see that because LeBron could just go along for the ride.
Skip.
Well, could he not?
Skip, why you do
he's
this?
He's in the backseat then?
You know what? LeBron could come off the bench for that team.
He
could come off the bench. He could do the mellow role in Houston.
We're having a good conversation.
That'd be funny.
You've been in there getting them gummies. Yeah. He's been in my stash.
I don't eat gummies.
When you had something
I don't
talking
eat
crazy.
Gummies. What's in those gummies?
That's good.
Whole different discussion. Back to the NFL.
You watch Thanksgiving Day Parade, Macy's?
Yeah.
You see how high them balloons be? You be in them gummies.
I was wondering where you're going with
that. Floating above the world.
Okay, gummies for later. I'm not helping myself.
No mercy.
Okay,
but
well,
I got
glad
Blake
you brought
Jones.
That up.
Yeah. Who can't get
glad
over
you brought
it.
That up. Let's talk a bit more about those
Let's
Cowboys.
I'm gonna duck out for
this.
Go work on your notes
and then come back later. So the Cowboys, they're a mess right now, Skip. They're currently 1-2 heading into their home game against the Lions, and USA Today ranked them 27th in their latest power rankings. Dak Prescott hasn't thrown for 200 yards in any game this year, but Jerry Jones still has high hopes for Dak and the rest of the team. Let's hear from Jerry.
I like our players. I like our coaching staff. I think we've got players that can, we've seen them perform the way, if they can play at those levels, then you can go right down through the positions, through the offensive line. Yes, you can go to the receivers. It's never when you lose a game and you come in on Monday, it's never as bad as it seems as far as how the players doing some of the things you do. You can always find some bright spots. The opposite is true when you win. You can go in and are surprised that you see some of the things you can improve on. That's just the nature of what we're doing. But I think your question is, have I hit the panic button? And the answer is no.
Gotta love the positivity. Okay, Shannon. Actually, is it time for the Cowboys to hit the panic button?
I would be concerned because their inability, Skip, on offense to put points on the board and get chunk plays out of the passing game. Dak Prescott is 20. You love QBR. He loves it.
Oh, yeah.
It's his favorite stat.
It's my new. I'm very in on the QBR.
Zero to 100.
I'm learning a lot from you guys. Yeah.
Way to go.
He's 27th in QBR, Skip.
Yeah. After he finished third as a rookie and fourth in his second year. Go ahead. To a horrendous start, three games in. Go.
You know, just 2 years ago, Gene, I was living in Atlanta, minding my own business. Mm-hmm. But for the last 2 years, I've been out here sunning in LA, just living my best life, having a good old time with
You are living your best life.
So, we're not going to go back to what happened. Mm. We're talking about right now. Right now, I'm sitting across from you, Skip Bayless, Central City, having a great time. But anyway, when it's not your turn to talk, will you stop interrupting me? Dak Prescott, and stop babbling on the table. Dak Prescott is 27th in QBR. He's behind a guy named Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Trubisky. Yes. He's even... Oh, what?
Get it out of your system.
No.
We're three games in.
Oh, now we're three games in. Mm-hmm. But if Dak Prescott was the number one in QBR, he wouldn't say we're three games in.
True.
And he's also behind Josh Allen. Skip, here's the thing.
He was really good last week.
Skip,
see him at Minnesota?
Yes.
I hope Jerry likes these players.
Yep.
I hope Jerry likes these coaches. Because why, Skip? Why should he like them? He picked them all. Every player that's in that locker room, Jerry Jones handpicked. Everybody, the only player that's not in that locker room that Jerry Jones wanted is Jason Witten. He retired. Mm-hmm. Everybody else that's gone, Jerry wanted him gone. Everybody that's in there, Jerry wanted him. Every coach that's in that building. So I hope you like him. Now, Jerry Jones is the type of guy. Mm-hmm. He's not going to pull the fire alarm, Jenny, until the building's burned down. Mm-hmm. It's too late then.
A little late.
Now, you can talk about you're not panicking if you want to, but you got no playmakers coming. Mm-hmm. You got none. Now, you're throwing the ball entirely too much. Dak Prescott is averaging 29 pass attempts a game. Zeke Elliott is getting 16 carries a game, but he's averaging 5.7 yards. Ezekiel Elliott is number one, Skip Bayless, in rush yards. You would think you would flip that. He's seventh in carries per game. You would think Zeke would be getting, because that's what Jerry said. Mm-hmm. Jerry said in the offseason, they're going to run Zeke. Zeke's going to be getting 25, 30 carries a game because, you know, he's built for it. Now, he's good. But all of a sudden, you want Dak. Skip won't, because I believe you in Jerry's ear. I believe you like, Jerry, we need to showcase Dak. That's not how you're going to do it, Skip. You assemble this offensive line to run the football. Mm. But all of a sudden now, you want Dak to drop back and throw it like he Brady, like he Rogers. Mm. Oh, for that matter, like he Pat Mahomes. Mm. Pat Mahomes, old Patrick. Doing it big time.
Yes.
Skip, run the football with Zeke Elliott and then play action off it.
I agree.
You asking Dak to throw to those guys, Skip?
Mm-hmm.
First of all,
you true.
Got, at best case scenario, Skip, your tight end, you got one tight end that might be a third tight end on someone else's roster. Mm-hmm. Everybody else could not play.
You know what? I don't think they could make any other roster. Go ahead.
I'm going to say one of them could be a third tight end. But the receivers... They're what we call twos and fused, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
But they're more fused than twos.
Mm.
So I'm not so sure.
They're threes and frees, as in they should be free agents right now.
At best case scenario, they're the third options.
Yep.
But some of those guys, Skip, got to be number one and got to be number two options. It's not defensively, they're fine because I believe they can hold teams. But they're going to play the Falcons. They're going to hold. Mm-hmm. They're going to play the Saints. Skip, you and I both know, you're not winning those games 17-14. You're going to have to score points.
Mm.
And your team's in trouble. Mm. Your team's in trouble.
Just gloat, laugh, revel.
You think I take pleasure in this?
Oh, do I? You live for it.
I do.
You are living your best cowboy-hating life. That's what you're living. Yeah, you got
Duval.
It. Way to go. Little Duval. Where is he when we need him?
Oh, he crying because your Jag took that L on Sunday.
Mm, he did.
Oh, gosh, true.
So... I should have brought one out here, but just imagine that I have a big red button right here, and I am hitting it because it's time to hit the panic button.
Skip Bayless panic?
Wow.
But it is not time to give up on my Dallas Cowboys. It's just time to hit that button because things need to start changing quickly and dramatically now.
Urgency. I hear urgency in your voice.
I don't have Sean Lee, and you know what happened last year when I didn't have Sean Lee? 1-5 happened, but I do have Leighton Vander Esch, and as much as I've ridiculed that choice, the tackling Dutchman, I think I'm going to need him to tackle some people on Sunday in Dallas at Jerry World.
Mm-hmm.
Again. against the Detroit Lions. And he actually played very well in the second half, so I'm going to hang in there with him. I obviously don't have my center, Travis Frederick. I don't have David Irving until next week, the monster in the middle of the defensive line, and I was very disappointed in the defensive pass rush last week. But all that said, before I get to the thrust of my point, I do need to defend my man Dak Prescott, because now I'm hearing, I even heard this from our man Chris Carter on First Things First just as we were about to come onto the air.
What do you say?
At 9:30 Eastern. He was bashing Dak, saying, just, you got to get the ball out of his hands and into Zeke's hands. But he put it in the sort of in the perspective of he just can't throw it. Well, just for the record, last year, Dak Prescott, just last year, and it was a miserable year. They went 9-7 last year. Remember, he didn't have this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy. And just for the record, last year against the Giants, he threw for 332, and then he went up to the Giants and threw for another 268. And at home against the Rams, 252, and against Green Bay, 251, and against Kansas City, 249. These were all high QBR games. Mm-hmm. So don't tell me he's not capable of throwing the ball around a little bit. We're dismissing him as if he was Tim Tebow in 2011, right?
Oh, you're right-handed Tim Tebow? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh.
But speaking of 2011, I need to see some of 2011 in this Cowboy offense, because I keep saying they could easily lead the league in rushing as a team if Dak Prescott would be allowed early in the football game, like he was against the New York football Giants, to run the zone read or read option, whatever you want to refer to it as, because he's really good at it. And he's a little bigger than Tim Tebow, because he weighs 250 and
Tim, he's not that big. He told me to tell you he's not 250. He's 230.
No, he's 235. He's 250.
Yeah, he told me to tell you that.
I can just see him. He's thick, 250. He's bigger than Tebow. And I remind you, Tim Tebow took over a 1-4 football team. So that's 5 games. So he started 11 games, and he turned that team around into a division winner that led the league in rushing with Willis McGahee. And what was their bread and butter, Mr. Sharp? Ride and decide. Either I'm going to let you have it, or I'm going to pull it, and I'm going to go over here, because that end crashed down to stop Willis, right?
Okay.
And because of that, they led the league in rushing. But guess what? Tim Tebow averaged 10 rushes a game in those 11 games. 10 a game? Well, Dak, the most he's ever rushed was 8 times last year against Washington and against the Giants in that big game that they won on Sunday night. He rushed it 7 times. And their lone win, 7-45. You got to let him do it. Did he do it at Seattle? The first zone read that I saw him run was midway through the fourth quarter when it was too late, right?
But Skip, if you're going to let him run the ball 10 times, he won't be able to throw it 29 times.
Okay, well then fine. I'm fine. He doesn't need to throw it 29 times. And I told you Zeke is poised to have a monstrous year, like a record-breaking year.
He's still on a good pace.
And
he's averaging 90 yards a game.
And I told you he's going to have to run his way into condition, and it's happening right before your very eyes. He will get stronger and stronger as the year goes. So can they win running the ball mostly and playing defense? Yes, they can. So what did we see in the two losses? They were carbon copy losses to me, because the same thing happened at Carolina as happened at Seattle. What were they both? The home opener for the home team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the crowd is revved, man. They're crazy. And what happened at Seattle? Bobby Wagner comes back, and Earl Thomas was hell-bent to show Jerry Jones he should have closed the deal and
bowed in front of him,
right?
He got a pick.
Okay, he bowed in front of them. So you're up against it in both places. You're up against Cam Newton, and you're up against Bobby Wagner, and especially Earl Thomas here. So what happened in the first half at Carolina? They just got mauled. The yards were 209-60 in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in the second half at Carolina? My defense finally said, well, we got this. And then the offense started to click a little bit.
Right.
We won just in total yards the second half, 172-84. And we did win the score in the second half, 8-6. I know that's not much, but the final score was 16-8. But we won the second half. Then what happened at Seattle this past Sunday? First half yards, 202 for Seattle, 92 for my pathetic offense. But what happened in the second half? My pathetic offense had 211 yards to only 93 for Russell Wilson's offense. So both times we flipped the script completely in the second half, and we won the second half 10-7 at Seattle.
But sometimes, Skip, if you give up too much ground, you're unable to come back.
I got you. But again, what happened against the Giants? We won the first half 10-0, because what happened right in the first series? Whoosh, he throws a bomb to Tavon, and you're off to the races.
Correct.
They didn't do much in the second half, so that was the opposite.
Right.
But my point is, to use your phrase, did they get their doors blowed off at Carolina and Seattle? They did not. They were both close games. They got close at the end.
But here's the thing. The difference between, we just talked about two teams, the Patriots having adversity and the Cowboys. The Cowboys does not have the Patriots pedigree.
Obviously they don't.
So I feel more comfortable saying they should panic as opposed to.
Okay, well, I just hit my panic button. I agree. But I still think there are enough pieces in place on the defense and with the running back and the quarterback and a semblance of an offensive line.
Don't do that.
And remember, Bryce Butler, his favorite target from last year, is back.
Yeah.
Well, I assume he didn't suit up, but he's on the team. And I assume this week he will be in the game plan. He better be. He better be.
I think we get a panic button right here.
We should get a big red panic button.
Well, you
could
be
get crazy right
And
here.
Guess what? When you come out here on Monday, you come out here Monday, you be... We'll be back.
How about that panic button?
Cowboy.
See what I can do.
No mercy.
How about this? The NFL Competition Committee is reportedly frustrated with the amount of roughing the passer penalty calls so far this season. Monday night, Steelers-Bucks game had 4 in the first half alone, and there have been 34 roughing the passer penalties in the first 3 weeks of the season. That's compared to just 16 at this time last year. Now, Clay Matthews has been a focal point of the controversy. Monday, he said the league was getting soft. We're joined by two-time Super Bowl champ James Harrison. And this conversation was great yesterday, and I loved hearing the dynamic between you two. But I am going to start with you first, Shannon. Are these penalties hurting the product?
It is, because at the end of the day, people want to see people, NFL players, tackle each other. Mm-hmm. And quarterbacks are football players, and they want to see them get tackled. Now, if you go to race, let's take it to NASCAR or racing. Yeah, you go to the Daytona 500, the Indy, and yeah, you want to see the cars go around the track, but you want to see a crash too. You don't want to see 500 clean laps. You want to see somebody run into the wall.
Yeah.
You come to an NFL game, nothing gets the crowd into it. Nothing gets the sideline into it like a big hit.
Big hit.
That ooh, that ooh. You see that? You see what?
Or
Cam,
a double stiff arm.
Yeah, like you see what Cam Hayward did? Ooh, we got you. That's what they want to see. But the NFL, if the NFL were to change this right now, guess what that means? We screwed up. NFL don't like admitting they're wrong.
Like admitting they're wrong.
Because to the letter of the law, the officials are calling it to the letter of the law like the NFL's instructed it to. And they've told them, like, with helmet to helmet, with anything, if you're in doubt, throw the flag. Mm-hmm. We'll sort it out later. We'll deal with the penalty. We won't find the guy. Mm-hmm. But we'd rather you throw a flag and you've missed it as opposed to you missing it. And then we have to find the guy later.
Yep.
So that's where we are, Skip. This is tackle football. It's almost like parents telling the kids, boy, go outside and play. And then when you come back in, how you get dirty?
Right.
Man, what did you told me to go outside and play. Well, you playing tackle football. How you going to play tackle football and not tackle the quarterback? This is why, think about it, Skip. We talked about this yesterday. Ryan Fitzpatrick, in the 99-year history of the NFL, has thrown for 3 consecutive 400-yard games.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. This is why you have so many quarterbacks looking like Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze, because they're so heavily protected.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, the cream of the crop, because they were, those guys could stare fear and adversity down, knowing. But those other guys would flinch. Well, the guys don't have to flinch now because guess what?
Right.
You can't hit them. So this is a bad rule. The player, at the end of the day, fans want to see tackle football,
right,
Skip, and this is not tackle football.
I mean, I played with a guy, you know, Ben Roethlisberger. I've played with him 12-plus years, and I've seen him take some of the most vicious, nasty hits that I've seen that weren't called.
Yeah.
That weren't called.
I agree.
And he's talking about, maybe it's getting a little out of control.
Yeah.
But you're a quarterback fan. You tell me what you're thinking.
Mm. This is where I part ways with you guys.
I knew it.
In the end, I hear everything you're saying, and I don't want to see the ratings fall because people are saying it's not tackle football anymore. And even Jerry Jones said 2 days ago, people in the end, you know, Jerry's got those weird analogies, but he said they want to see these guys fight with 6-ounce gloves, which are little gloves.
Yeah.
They're just like not much padding because they want to see people get rocked.
He meant 8 ounces, though.
No, he meant, but he's saying even he's going toward MMA, right?
Yeah. Well, that's 4 ounces.
Okay,
yes.
4 ounces.
Yeah.
So, in the end, look, I'm going to just boil it down for you. I don't want to see Brian Hoyer have to start games for the New England Patriots because I'm out. I don't want to watch him anymore. I don't want to see DeShone Kizer starting games for the Green Bay Packers because I won't watch those games.
Right.
I don't want to see Teddy Bridgewater, as much as I respect Teddy, I don't really want to see him running the New Orleans offense because I want to see Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
I can keep going. I don't want to see Chad Henne play in Kansas City because this kid, this sensational Patrick Mahomes is just lighting it up. So I don't want to see him lost for the year because somebody hit him and tore his ACL or broke his collarbone or separated his shoulder.
But guess what? That's what you don't want to see. You remember a few years ago they threatened to do away with the Pro Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because at the end of the day, it's tackle football, and those guys weren't tackling, and the fans says, I'm out.
Here's the problem.
They gotta actually hide the booing in those games sometimes.
Okay, you're correct, but that's just an exhibition game you're talking about. This is what matters. This is what counts. Just remember this. The most defenseless player on that football field is the most crucial to ratings and popularity, and that's that quarterback. And he is the most defenseless because you get to go hell-bent as hard as you can at 200 and...
Ain't that why they pay all these tackles all this money to protect
them? They do. But again, they pay you that money to get to...
Yeah,
to
they paid in me all that money to stop him, to make sure he don't do his job. I got to do my job. I got
to
do my job better
than down
him.
To, in some words, like to kill the quarterback.
This is like segregation of a quarterback. Right. Everybody got one rule except for the quarterback got their own set.
But he's by far the most important player to the ratings. Because if you take him away, I promise you, if you take Aaron Rodgers away, what's going to happen to Green Bay's ratings? But nobody wants to watch
him. They're going to the letter of the law. And to the letter of the law, if you put any – it's what, 95? It's been there since 95?
Yeah.
If you put your body weight mm-hmm. on him, then it's a flag. It's no way that you're going to tackle a guy in certain situations where you cannot get his body weight on him. That's like me taking this paper right here and saying, hey.
I like
that. Don't fall. I don't know if he's going to like that.
Don't fall.
That's what you used
to
do to quarterbacks.
Don't fall. You want me to defy the law of gravity by not going in the motion that my body is already going.
But the irony of this discussion was there was, to me, in my view, only one bad call so far in the National Football League.
One?
And it was the Clay Matthews call on Kirk Cousins in that game at Lambeau Field that cost the Packers a home game. And the irony was Clay Matthews, by the letter of the new law, executed a textbook tackle. This is how you're supposed to do it.
But he still has some body weight on him, so he's looking at it.
Look at this. He put his left hand down on the
ground. Put his left hand down, but he still got some body weight on him.
Okay,
he still got some body weight on him, though. I can call that.
He propped himself up with the left.
Letter of the law.
He's rolling off him. He's trying to go over here. Okay, by the letter of the law, I'm letting that one go. It's okay.
But like you said, you can't.
No.
If you're in question, you're in doubt, pull it out.
No, the ones that I cannot abide, that I have campaigned against for years on television, are the where you bounce. Where you take your 280 pounds and you bounce on the quarterback because bad things are going to happen. He is completely defenseless because he's trying to read 1, 2, 3 options. Boom, he gets hit and he's going backwards.
Uh-huh.
You can do whiplash concussion, number one.
No problem with
or
that.
If you bounce 280 pounds on 220 pounds, what could happen? Collarbone's going to break.
I don't think
shoulder.
That's it. You shouldn't. You call that. That shouldn't allow
But you're going to take pride in knocking him out of the game, aren't you?
Yeah. No, I'm going to take pride in anything that I do. Every time I hit somebody, I'm trying to inflict as much pain into him as I can.
Not that
running
you're
back,
trying to hurt him,
receiver,
but if he gets hurt, are you not happy?
I won't say that I'm happy, but...
Well, I think you're happy.
I'm happy that if he... Right, it takes my chances of winning.
Right?
Yeah.
That's your goal.
I don't want to injure anyone. No. I'm not opposed to hurting the guy.
But if by accident, it happens, you're happy.
No, well,
you gave your chance.
I would rather hurt him and he'd be out for that game and come back next
year.
I don't want to injure him to where he's done for the season. I want to hit him hard enough that he's like, ooh.
If he leaves that game.
Let me think about everything.
Because that's how, as a gunner, when I was on special teams, if I could get that one shot on Metcalf, Cam Brown, I'm trying to get the shot where he's coming, he doesn't see me, he cuts back, and I can put my helmet in his ear hole.
No question.
Hopefully next week he's open at it.
Okay.
But I want to put him out of that game.
If I don't put him up for a half or a quarter or two, whatever it may be, I want less of him in that game with
us.
Sure
you are.
But
hell,
to the knee, Skip. But to the knee, I get that. To the knee, I get it. But Skip, it's tackle football.
Okay.
At some point in time, I'm going to fall on him.
Okay, the reason Monday night was a bad look because there were two that were ticky-tack to me. And the first one is Gerald McCoy. He just can't quite stop. And he bangs into Ben, and Ben kind of flopped a little bit. He kind of went back hard on his back. And Gerald McCoy was mic'd up on ESPN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's apologizing. My bad, Ben. Like, he didn't mean to. He just couldn't quite pull up.
You can't
and
stop.
Hit him,
that's
hit
a
him
lot
better.
Of man trying to stop.
Hey, that was a lot of man he ran into, too.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, so that's ticky-tack. You could go either way. But then there's the JPP head slap. He just reach in and he whacks
that's
Ben ability. Across.
Okay.
It's just the way it is.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
just like you
right.
just can't do that.
But Ben
right?
just felt like he was shot in the Western. That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Ben just dropped like, come on, Ben. I don't think you get the helmet under the chin and you pop right up. And you like... But I get it. But, Skip, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Now, the fans are speaking. Now, we see some of the ratings a little flat. Now, the fans
say
we want to see guys get tackled. We want to get, see guys get tackled. The quarterback
is going crazy every time they call one of those questionable calls.
Those Cowboy fans, if Dak Prescott goes down for the year and it's Cooper Rush, I'm out, man.
Cooper Rush, hold up. Why they paying Tyrese Mill $11 million?
Thank you.
They paid him for something, Skip.
Let's put some of this on the line. Tell them go ahead and lock a little bit.
You don't want me to do my job, but so you're going to absolve all those guys from doing theirs. Nah, my job is to get to the quarterback, him on the ground. I'm not trying to hurt him, but sometimes, Skip, when you tackle somebody, you're going to fall on top of him, Skip.
Okay. Are you guys Are you jealous of the quarterback?
No.
Jealous that he makes that much money?
Listen, I'm not jealous. And I would tell my kids, like they just started tackle football, I'd be like, look, man, listen, this is what y'all need to do. Y'all need to start playing quarterback. When you get to the league, they ain't going to be allowed to hit you. But you know what?
Thank you.
I don't want to have some kids that's a little soft. So I'm not going to do that.
No.
I'm going to raise them to be linebackers or running backs, something that's a collision position.
But wait a second. Ryan Fitzpatrick the other night, he threw for 400. I promise you, he got rocked two or three times. He got knocked down two or three times.
Not like he should have, but they called two penalties on the 21.
They threw kitchen sink.
You called a penalty on a safety coming down on
him. Yeah. Okay, he bounced.
Probably half as light as him.
He bounced on him.
He's trying to get him down.
He's about the same weight as him.
He's trying to get him down. You want him to pull the same weight. You want me to pull
up? But let me ask you a question. Had that been Ronnie Lott or Steve Atwater that hit Fitzpatrick back in the old, you know how it was, Skip. You cover the game long enough.
Yeah.
And when you got free runners on your quarterback like that, quarterback laid on the ground for a minute.
Yeah. And when Roger Staubach got his collarbone broken in a preseason game, I'm out, man. I'm out. I don't want to watch him.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Hey.
Bounced.
You got to go.
Bounce.
You go to the car race. You want to see.
Assumption of risk along the lines of assumption.
Yeah,
risk to everything.
You can't get on the roller coaster and talk about I had a heart attack. You know that was a 300
foot
drop.
Now you want to sue. You know. Yeah.
I don't ride on the roller coaster.
I ride. Yeah,
do you?
Yeah. Whee!
It's tight. But you can get in there. It's tight.
Yeah, no way you can fit.
You know what I call
Cedar Point? You been to Cedar Point?
No.
You got to go there. Number one.
More roller coasters.
I call roller coasters. I'll stay behind. Those vomit rides. That's what that is.
You got a weak stomach.
Yeah.
Oh,
you got weak.
I don't believe
Leaky
that.
Oh,
yes.
No,
thank you for joining us.
No mercy.
Well, the John Gruden era has gotten off to a very bad start. The Raiders are one of just three winless teams in the league, and Sunday they host Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Gruden has been critical of Derek Carr, and this week NFL Network reported Gruden has created division within the organization. Joining us now, former coach for the Raiders and Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
When you look at the way they've started this, are you surprised that the Raiders are 0-3?
I am surprised they're 0-3. And I'm surprised they're only scoring 17 points on offense. I thought they would be a little bit better than that. And I do know there is some division in the building. Hmm. I don't know if there's a division on the football team, but in the building there's division. When it's all said and done, the players can't get caught up in what's going on in the coaching staff. They can't get caught up what's going on in the front office side of it, the other side of the building. They have to play football. But when you're only scoring 17.3 points a game, your defense is giving up 27 points a game, you're not going to win that many. Mm-hmm. And he was a savior coming in and being this offensive guru. Mm-hmm. And really, we haven't seen the rise of Derek Carr 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, that rise 2 years ago, we all thought that it's in him. We know he can do it. We know this offense can put up points. Yep. Where is it? Where's the creativity for the offense? And I think where's the playmakers? Where's Coop? Mm. We haven't seen Coop. We've seen Jordy.
Yep.
Last week we seen him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where's Coop? On a 1 yard line 2 weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, it's 4th-and-1 and they give it to the fullback, not Marshawn Lynch. So where's the creativity of scoring the points for this football team? Because I don't think the players can get caught up in what's going on with, is Reggie McKenzie coming back next year? Is that whole front office on the other side coming back? Mm-hmm. I know Gruden has his guys in the building, and it is Gruden's guys and non-Gruden guys in the front office side of it.
Never knows, huh?
In the same building. Not even outside of the building.
The non-Grudens aren't going to last very long, are they? I don't know.
No. Because they don't have another 9 years on their contract. They got another 9 months on their contract, and they're going to be up out of there. Yeah. Skip, I'm not surprised because I told you this. When you're away from something for 10 years, and what we see is that Coach Gruden does a great job of scripting the first 15. They do a great job in the first half. They've been out in the lead in all the first halves. But what happens when you have to make adjustments? We see no adjustments being made in the second half. The second half adjustments are being made by the team that's trailing, which are not the Raiders. And defensively, Skip, now, they had a guy. He keeps talking about they need pressure, and these pressures are hard. These pass rushes, they're hard to find because everybody's throwing bubble screens and two-step drops and all that. He had a guy that went, they traded him to Chicago for some money that he can't use this year.
Yeah.
What good is money? You know what, Woody? I'm going to give you some money in 2019 and 2020. What good is that if I'm broke right now? I need it now. Khalil Mack, Skip, has 4 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, a fumble recovery, interception, 4 touchdowns. The Raiders as a team has 3 sacks, fewest in the NFL, and 1 forced fumble.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, well, why? Skip, I'm not surprised because I think the time is past Coach Gruden by. He thought, because he's diagramming, he's meeting with coaches, and he's going into these meetings, that's not coaching. Mm. Because at the end of the day, you have to come up with a game plan, and then once they react to what you came up with in the beginning, you're going to have to come up with something else. Mm. He hadn't been doing that. So I'm not surprised, and it's not going to get much better. Let's just say for the sake of argument, they start scoring more points. They can't stop anybody.
Mm.
So where are we?
Well, he traded his best defensive player.
And then they questioned the guy that traded him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, man, they traded my – you the guy.
When you got 10 years and $100 million, you just say, well, I'm going to buy myself a couple of years here while we wait to see how these two draft picks do.
Correct.
2-3 years from now, right?
Correct.
That's what he did, and I don't respect that. But I completely disagree that the game has passed him by. I do not see that. I don't believe that. When you're up in that booth and you're meeting with coach after coach after coach, the game is not going to pass you by. When you're meeting with every top quarterback every year and picking their brains and going out and coaching them on the field, the game is not passing you by. I just don't believe that.
You know why, Skip? You know why? Because they're telling you what they're doing. What are you doing? What plays are you diagramming? Mm-hmm. They're telling you what they're doing, how they're attacking defenses. Yeah. You're not going back doing that.
So this has been interesting because in all three of these games, the Oakland Raiders led at halftime, to your point. But they led every game. And I thought they played the heck out of the Rams on opening night. And then the floodgates open, and it winds up 33-13, which doesn't sound very good. But it was a closer game than 33-13. Because mid-fourth quarter, they're still in the football game. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Derek Carr throws the weirdest interception I've ever seen. He throws a punt to the weak side. I don't even know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And Littleton, the linebacker, is like,
I appreciate it.
Me? Really? Okay, I'll take this, and the game's over. So again, you agree with this. It does come down to that quarterback. How good is this quarterback? And you know him very well. And I think you think he's pretty good, right?
I think he has a talent, but talent's not everything in the National Football League because everybody's talented that comes into the league.
Yeah.
That's why they get drafted. They get drafted off pure college talent.
What's his ceiling? What can he be or not be?
I think the biggest thing for Derek, what I would love to see Derek do, is use his natural ability. And within a scheme work or whatever their plays might be, define the weak link in the system. So schematically, they call a play. He needs to go out there and say, okay, who's guarding Coop? You know, who has Cook? If that linebacker has Cook, check, I'm going to Cook.
Thank you.
If the number two guy's on Coop or safety's on Coop, check, I'm going to Coop. He hasn't done that yet.
Mm.
And that's what we talk about. We always talk about franchise quarterbacks.
First
of all,
the ability to do that?
That I don't know. But he's had that ability. He had it last year.
Okay.
He had it the year before that. And the year before that, he did have it.
Boy, the year before that, he really had it.
And, you know, you look at it, and he has the ability, and he sets to make sure that every single game that he can go out there and play. And he's been hurt a couple times. And what I'm seeing a little bit is that he's a little gun shy.
Mm-hmm.
He sees that color. And players know it. When, as a defensive player, when we start pressuring the quarterback, and he ducks his head and sees the color, all we're going to go back to coach and say, coach, let's bring heat.
Let's bring heat.
He sees color. He's going to throw that ball away. And, you know, hopefully he can find a way. He can believe in who he is. He can come back to his abilities. And let it go when it has to go. And he has to make plays with his feet and extend plays with his feet. Do so. And I think he's very hesitant. He's unwilling to let the ball go when it should be gone.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you one point. John Gruden does overcoach the quarterback. It's a little psycho to me because it gets a little scary because the guy you saw on TV is not the guy you see behind the scenes because he is a son of a you-know-what behind the cameras, off camera. And with Rich Gannon in Oakland, you know Rich because you played with him, but you came the year
after.
But
he's an older quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's more established. He knew what he was.
Rich Gannon would give it back to Gruden like, no, we're going to do it this way. And John backed off Rich because Rich knew how to play.
Right.
He didn't have – I don't think he had Derek Carr's talent, but he knew how to play the game.
But, Skip, the difference is those old school quarterbacks, everybody got coached like that.
Mm-hmm.
These new guys, you can't do – they're not built like that.
Yeah.
You got to handle everybody.
Not all of them. I mean, we talk about franchise quarterbacks, right, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only a handful of franchise quarterbacks in this league.
Right.
All right? You got Tom Brady. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got Phillip Rivers. Mm-hmm. You got Breeze. All right?
You like Big Ben.
And you got Ben.
Yeah.
That's the franchise quarterbacks.
Yep.
Could be Mahomes over in Kansas City if he keeps it up. Mm-hmm. Who knows? You know, everybody was talking about, you know, Jimmy G, he gets hurt. But there's only a handful of guys who can take – and a franchise quarterback to me – it's not because the guy who suits up for you, he's your quarterback.
Right.
That's not a franchise quarterback. A franchise quarterback is a quarterback who can take your team to the next level consistently. And that's what we haven't seen right now from Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm. But that's always been the case. People like make it seem like where there used to be all these great quarterbacks. No, there were, even when you and I played, was still only a handful of quarterbacks. You had your Elways, your Marinos in Montana, and then you had that second tier and you had that third tier. That's what you have now. Mm-hmm. What has happened is that they've laxed the rules so much that sometimes that second and third tier can come up and play like those guys in the first
or
tier.
Or Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right. Yeah. You get a situation where guys like, oh, man, I ain't going to get hit.
Ooh. They're throwing for 4,000 yards.
Yes.
30 touchdowns. That's a norm.
Mm-hmm.
Where back in the day, that was like elite.
Elitist of the elite.
So then on the other side of the ball for Oakland, when you're last in sacks and you're last in turnover differential, where you got one takeaway and you've given it away five times, that will not work, man.
Not in this league.
Nope.
No.
You got to pressure the quarterback.
You
got to find a way to take the ball away for your offense, and your offense has to find a way to get the ball in the end zone.
Simple as that.
And like
simple
you said,
game.
I will give you this. I will concede this to you, Skip. Coach Belichick could let Chandler Jones go, the best pure pass rusher he's ever had, because he has 12. When you don't have that guy, Derek Carr is not 12. So you can't let Matt go.
You just can't.
You can't.
I have no idea.
Look at Denver. Denver realized, like, we don't have no great quarterback. We don't have a Peyton Manning. Now, maybe we had a Peyton Manning in our prime. I don't know if I'm going to give Von Miller $19.5 million a year. Mm-hmm. But since we don't, and he's a game changer. Yeah, did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you watch the championship game?
Yeah.
Those guys don't grow on trees.
Absolutely.
Let's see how that defense handles Baker Mayfield. And how crazy, though, that we've got an 0-3 Raider team and a Browns team that's coming off a win, you know?
Who would have thought that?
Who would have thought? Uh-oh. I think it's a little more fun.
Now, the Raider Nation still can be like, they still got the Browns, they got the Chargers, they got Seattle, they get a bye, and they got the Colts. So life is still there.
Yeah.
The back end of the schedule is even tougher than that, though.
Yep. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one. Of one.